From livingoverexisting.com, this is The Low Podcast, an audio outlet for women entrepreneurs and founders who want to build a successful business without sacrificing the life she desires. Each week, we interview incredible women from different industries and backgrounds on their journey to success, how they are living on purpose, pushing past fear, and managing their lives around entrepreneurship. Turn the volume up and get ready for honest conversations on what it's really like to be a female entrepreneur. I'm your host and founder of Living Over Existing, Alicia Robertson. Hey, you guys, welcome back to another episode of the Living Over Existing podcast. So when it comes to entrepreneurship, where you are now or where you'll end up, let's say 4 or 5 years from now, is rarely where you started. So as you launch your business and as you continue to grow, you may find that you have a deeper understanding of your audience, of your purpose, and also the mission that you really want your brand to be known for. And often with coming to those big realizations and big aha moments, making a pivot in your business is required. The problem with that is many entrepreneurs are afraid to take the leap. So you've probably gotten comfortable in the spot or the position that you're currently in your business, and you've probably really gotten, you know, comfortable with your day-to-day task and like how you're actually running your business on like a day-to-day or week-to-week basis. So jumping into new territory can be really terrifying. But in many cases, in order to get to where you want to be, you can't stay the same. That is one of the big realizations that I have come to over the past few months within our business. So more specifically within our business model, which of course, if you're not sure of what a business model is essentially just the way that you make money within your business. So specifically in our business model with Living Over Existing, this company is not where it is or where it was just a few years ago. So what we're doing now in Living Over Existing with our community and with our podcast is not how this business started out when I first launched. And I say that because it never really was supposed to be a brand beyond just the book that I wrote. So literally beyond the Living Over Existing book, it wasn't supposed to be what it is today. So I have had to take multiple shifts and pivots in this company in order to get to where I want it to be and to where it is today. So if you've been thinking about pivoting your business model, or if you feel like you're going backwards because you're making a huge shift in your business, I wanted to take you a little bit down memory lane and just share how our business model and how this business as a whole has changed over the past few years, how we have gotten to where we are today, and also a little peek into where we are headed. So let's start from the very beginning of what Living Over Existing was when we first officially launched. So when I decided to really go all in with Low, I knew that it would be geared towards helping women entrepreneurs. So that was a given. That's like what I do. And I knew that I did not want to go back into one-on-one coaching, as that's what's really led me to like experience severe burnout. And I've shared my story on here before. So I had the grand idea of creating a bunch of like smaller courses and smaller workshops and selling them for like $50 to $65. So when I was doing my research and really just figuring out, okay, I have this thing that I'm wanting to build, how is it that we're going to make money? I looked at different companies that I admired, like Creative Live and Brit & Co. And I saw how they were able to leverage that type of business model for their brand. So if you're unfamiliar with like Creative Live or Brit & Co., Brit & Co., one of their business models is actually they sell different types of courses. So business courses and different types of like crafting, artsy type of courses. And then Creative Live is more structured to like marketing and business and like personal improvement and things like that. But they all sell courses that are on a different range of topics, and they're not extremely like overly priced. Like you can typically get a course for under $75, you know, if not under $100, which is, you know, pretty fair for a lot of people. So I looked at how they have been able to like grow their brand and really leverage their company or leverage those courses to build out their company. And I knew that that type of business model would be accessible to my audience and also wouldn't really take too much for me to like develop. A lot of these topics that I wanted to talk about, I've been talking about for years. I tend to work pretty fast. So like getting up these smaller workshops and courses would be like a no-brainer. At least that's what I thought. The problem was that I wasn't sure how to scale that, even if it were possible to scale that. So to scale those small one-off workshops or courses into the million-dollar company that I wanted to build, I personally felt like would take forever to do. So like selling, you know, a few $50 courses a month was literally going to take me years to hit that million-dollar revenue goal. So I really just felt stuck. And I also feel like trying to build that and also trying to market all of those different courses and workshops that I was created was really going to like suck me dry. So I then decided to make my first big pivot. And mind you, at this time, I had already created some courses. I had already had things available on the site. So creating all of that and spending all of that time and just for me to turn around and say, oh, this isn't really going to work was like a big deal because I didn't know what else at the time to do, but I knew that I needed to make a pivot or I needed to make a shift in order to hit that thing that would really help Living Over Existing to grow to where I wanted it to be. So within that, my next pivot was essentially trying to run like a tech company, quote unquote. So I had the idea of possibly getting low funded. I knew that if I wanted to somewhat stick to that idea of providing my audience with these smaller products, then I would need some money to really pour into marketing and hiring to get it up and running fairly quickly. So I knew that if I had, you know, $100,000, I could really go into like marketing this thing big time so I could increase the chances of me getting more customers into the company, essentially. So I decided to first launch our crowdfunding campaign. And if you've been following me or following Living Over Existing for a while, you probably remember this from a few years ago. But I launched our first crowdfunding campaign, which after a month of hustling to share it and also cold emailing everybody that I could think of, and I hate cold emailing, I do not recommend it, I failed miserably. I'm talking like we raised $2,000 out of like my $35,000 goal. So like failed miserably after like a month of fully promoting it, you know, every single day, and maybe 2 or 3 months of just like putting it all together. Not to mention, I had also found out at that time that I was pregnant. So like dealing with the exhaustion that comes with your first trimester also just had me all just out of whack. So then I thought, you know, I would just dig deep into the world of like raising money from venture capitalists. I applied to like some local funds here in Raleigh, and I did a ton of research on like what it would look like if I received money from a VC. And after being denied for a few type of programs that I applied for, and after talking to people who had their companies funded, I really just realized that I really didn't want to give a piece of my company away just for someone to cut me a check and still be able to tell me what to do. Like, I still wanted to feel like I had ownership of my own company. I still wanted to feel like, you know, I could take this business. Of course, I want it to be $1 million company, but I could still do it at my own pace. And with, you know, raising money from, you know, a venture capitalist or an angel investor, you know, things like that, they're expecting to get a return on their funds fairly quickly. And you have to check in with them constantly. And, you know, they're wanting to see a busy, like bustling business, which is great. But I knew that the type of person that I am, I didn't want to fall back into burnout. I wanted to still have full control over my business. So I decided that that also wouldn't be a good route to go. So if my idea of selling these small courses, you know, wasn't going to work for me, and if the idea of possibly raising money to get these small courses off the ground and market it properly wasn't working, I really didn't know what else to do. I felt stuck at this point, and I knew who I wanted to help, and I knew that I could use my years of business coaching experience to help them to like really see a transformation in their own brands, but it just wasn't clicking for how it should go come together. Like all these different moving pieces, it just was not clicking for me in my head. So my next pivot literally was to like scrap the whole idea. Like that was my next shift and my next period. Pivot. And honestly, that was the scariest pivot that I've had to make in Living Over Existing because, mind you, at this point, I wasn't one-on-one coaching anymore. I had completely finished up with my clients. I was expecting a new baby. So it was like, all right, you got to get going and make some money pretty soon. And, you know, I really just didn't know what I wanted to do next. All I knew was I'm good at running a business. I'm good at teaching. Like that's really where I shine. And I really wanted to help women entrepreneurs to really see a real transformation in their brand and to also avoid making some of the same mistakes that I once made. So because everything like wasn't coming together, and honestly, I felt as if I were settling. Like I felt like I was just picking ideas because I needed to make money versus picking an idea that really like fueled that fire that was inside of me. So I felt like I was settling. So I decided to just take a step back and think about what I really wanted out of this brand and also listen to what my audience was saying that they needed. And the number one concern that came up was community and accountability. My audience is at the point where the resources are great, but what they really wanted was to make sure that they were actually doing the work and also have access to other women who are also building their businesses that they can just go to for advice and also like bounce ideas off of. So I had heard of a membership community several times before, but it never really dawned on me that I could like literally use my expertise as a business coach, that I could take all of my courses that I had already created and get together women from like my free Facebook community that I had at the time to build a space that women could go to, not only to learn, you know, how to build their own business, but also get the accountability, the mentor access, and the community that they really wanted and needed. And from that and from a lot of research and from just a lot of investing time into, again, listening to my beta members and just seeing like what was working and not working for other companies, the Low Collective was born, which is our membership community for, you know, Living Over Existing. And by far, you guys, it has been the best decision that I have ever made for the company. It allows me to do what I love. And it allows me to coach women and mentor women. And it allows me to build a space for other women entrepreneurs to thrive and also learn how to build their business with intention. And even with that, even with knowing, okay, like this is my sweet spot, like this is what I love doing, I have created, you know, this incredible space for women to thrive and to learn and to get together. Even with that, something still didn't feel right. Like something still didn't fully connect. I felt like I was close. Definitely felt like I was close in that pivot that I made, but something still just didn't feel right. Like I didn't feel like everything was connecting together. So with our community, the Low Collective, turning one this month, and at the time of recording this, it is October 2020, At the time of recording this, the Low Collective is turning 1 year old this month. So I've been in like a really deep reflective mode over the past few months, which is completely normal for me whenever I'm getting ready to hit like a big milestone. I start to go back and look at what I've done. I start to go look back at like what's worked and what hasn't worked and like the areas where I've needed to make any tweaks or changes. And while things have been going extremely great in the community, I still felt an urge to dig deeper. And that's one of the things I've really been honing in on for 2020 is taking what I have and digging deeper. I almost felt like I was only scraping the surface with what the Low Collective could be. So again, I went back and did some digging. I went back through old client testimonials. I went back over like 5 years worth of old blog posts. And I also thought about what specific piece of entrepreneurship really sparks joy for me. So like out of like the branding and the content and all of that, like which piece really like gets me going. And with that, I realized that I really love helping service-based entrepreneurs. So I really love the process of building your package and like packaging your knowledge and your genius into like this offer and creating that process in customer experience. Like that is my jam. While I am good at a lot of pieces of building a business, I feel like I am really operating in my zone of genius when it comes to helping service-based women entrepreneurs. And again, it's what I started out doing. So, you know, when I first really got serious about one-on-one coaching years back, I was really specializing in helping other women to build out their coaching packages, and I was blogging about that consistently. The course that is currently in the Low Collective that I created that course years ago on building a service-based business. So I feel like I'm really operating in my zone of genius when I talk about, you know, helping you to build out your service. And to build a company that I can really operate my zone of genius, like that's the goal for me. I want to build a company around doing what I know how to do flawlessly. Also, since, you know, building a business with intention is really the core of what the Living Over Existing brand is about, I wanted to take that and really show service-based entrepreneurs how they can run their business and take on their clients without burnout or feeling like they are sacrificing their life in order to be successful or in order to build a successful company, which is, again, a huge piece of my own personal journey because I allowed, you know, not knowing how to take on clients and not knowing how to create my brand, you know, in a way that wouldn't lead to me experiencing severe burnout. So with that being said, my next pivot is shifting the focus of the Low Collective from helping generally all entrepreneurs to specifically building a membership community and mastermind that is based on helping service-based entrepreneurs who want to package up their knowledge and take on the clients with less stress and more intention. And y'all, I feel so aligned with this. Like it feels so good. And it's almost to the point where it's like, girl, why didn't you think about this earlier? Like why you could have skipped, you know, those years of experimenting and throwing ideas at the wall had you just thought of this first. But that's the thing about pivoting, and it's one of the things I want you to think about. Often you have to get in, you have to do the work, you have to experiment and try stuff out before you land on your big aha moment. So if I hadn't been willing to make those shifts and to make those pivots from, you know, taking a book and turning it into a brand and then taking those small courses that I created and figuring out, you know, that wasn't going to work, and then figuring out how I was going to get funding to make it work, and then not being able to get funding, and then going back and listening to my audience and building these communities, I would not have landed on this incredible business model that we have now. So it takes that work. It takes the digging. It takes the experimenting and being willing to start over and be a newbie and try things out. And I feel like that's one of the things that is missing in our realm of entrepreneurship. I've said this a million times on the podcast before, but we really do live in a microwavable society where you want to put an idea out there on Tuesday and you want to have instant results on Friday, or you want to launch this course or this service package, you know, in October, and then by the, you know, beginning of November, you want to be a six-figure earner. And like, it doesn't always work like that. And in most cases, it doesn't work like that at all. It takes digging, it takes refining, it takes practicing, and just figuring out what it is that not only you want, but also what your audience wants as well. So you have to really be willing to make those pivots in order for you to see those results and for you to get to that big aha moment. I wouldn't have gotten to where I am today with this brand had I not been willing to make those shifts and make those pivots before. Has it been scary? You better believe absolutely it has been terrifying. There has never been a shift or a pivot that I have made where I haven't been literally terrified, like scared to death. But you have to do it scared. And I know that's super cliche, but it's honest. Again, you can't get to where you want to be by staying the same. I was afraid that by shifting, you know, our current focus in the community, shifting from working kind of with all business owners to really narrowing down my niche and narrowing down my focus to begin working with service-based entrepreneurs, I was afraid that, you know, my current members were going to be completely turned off. But when I shared this with them, they were like, girl, like, that's cool. Like, we'll be here. I was afraid to focus on service-based entrepreneurs because it felt like everybody and their mama was focusing on service-based entrepreneurs. And it really kind of built up some imposter syndrome that I didn't realize that I had. So like, that was terrifying. And I was mostly afraid that this would just be an overall bad idea. Like, nothing would work. And I would essentially destroy what I have built over the past year. But, you know, I feel good about this shift that I'm making. I feel confident that it's going to really help my members and clients get results. And that's really what matters most. So like, you have to push past those fears. You have to push past, you know, what other people may think. You have to push past the idea that this is going to be a complete failure and follow it anyway. Like, do it anyway. Do it scared and make those pivots and shifts that are necessary for you to get to where you want to be 5 years now. From 5 years from now, you can't get to where you want to be by simply staying stagnant because you're afraid to make a change. You built this business because you wanted more freedom. I can guarantee it. You built this business because you wanted to create your own lifestyle. You wanted to set your own goals, or, you know, set your own schedule. So why are you so hesitant to move when you are the owner of this business? You can change. You can shift. You can do what you want. And you know what the best thing about that is? If it all fails, or if it doesn't go as expected, or if you shift and then you realize later on that this wasn't smart, you can always go back. If this community completely flops after I make this huge shift, I can go back and I'll be willing to say, I tried it, it didn't work out, but I'm going to go back and I'm going to refine it again until I can figure out like what the missing link is. So you can change it. You can shift. This is your business. So stop waiting for someone else to confirm that your idea is a good idea. Stop waiting for someone to give you the push that you need. Stop waiting for someone to say, hey, you got this. Like, you don't need that encouragement. Yes, encouragement is great. Yes, being motivated by someone else is great. Yes, having someone else to validate your idea is going to make you feel amazing, but you don't need that. You don't need that from other people. You really do have to like trust yourself, trust your gut, and go with what you feel is right for your business. All right, you guys. So if you're looking to pivot or shift in your business, here is what I want you to focus on. Number one, trust the process. It may take you a few months or a few years for you to develop and to change and to tweak and to really test out and try different things before you hit that aha moment. But instead of getting down on yourself or making yourself feel like you're a failure because you're changing yet again, trust the process and know that every single step you take, even if it may not be the exact right step, is going to get you closer to what you ultimately want to do. Number two is to dig deeper until you feel that you are operating in your zone of genius. I could have easily left the Low Collective as a space that helps all women entrepreneurs to build their business with intention. And even though it was great and it's going great, I didn't necessarily feel like I was fully operating in my own zone of genius. So again, I dug deeper until I figured out what that was. And then number three is to take the leap. If you have these big ideas and you have these big shifts, it doesn't matter until you actually put into motion and actually do the work. So make sure, you know, once you're trusting the process and that you're digging deeper, don't forget to actually take some action and take the leap. All right, you guys, thank you so much again, as always, for joining me for this week's episode. Don't forget the doors for the Low Collective, which is now going to be helping service-based entrepreneurs to package up their knowledge and also take on more clients with less stress and more intention. Doors will be opening up soon, so like December soon, or maybe even Black Friday soon. You never know. But doors will be opening up soon, so make sure that you are on the wait list. To join, all you have to do is head over to joinlow.com. That's join, LOE.com, to go ahead and sign up for the waitlist. And if you enjoyed this episode, what I want you to do is head over to Apple Podcasts. I want you to rate the show and also leave a review. So the more like 5-star reviews that we can receive, the more women will be able to impact with our message. And if you just so happen to be watching me on YouTube right now, hey girl, I want you to make sure that you subscribe to our channel so that you don't miss out on any other episodes. All right, you guys, thank you so much again for hanging out with me, and I will be chatting with you next week. If you love this episode, don't forget to rate the show and leave a review over on the Apple Podcast app. You can also share your favorite episodes with me over on Instagram at livingoverexisting. I love seeing screenshots of your favorite episodes. And if you're looking to connect with us further, every single Sunday in our newsletter, The Weekly 3, we send out one affirmation, one podcast, and one article designed to help you have the best week ever. You can sign up now by heading over to livingoverexisting.com/newsletter.